I'll pass you over to Akin now.
My name's Akin. I am a program manager on the System Center team at Microsoft. I've been there for about less than 2 years now, but I've been learning a lot, and it's really awesome to work on a product that helps you guys hopefully do your job better and makes it a little easier.
My name's Gordon McKenna. I'm actually a System Center Cloud and Data Center Management MVP. So I work very closely with the product team around putting my feedback in from what I see in the field from customers. I actually run a consultancy based out of the UK as well. So I do a lot of the work on the ground with kind of getting the product deployed with customers, running into the problems, and basically implementing a System Center as a solution for customers. So hopefully today I can bring a couple of little real-world bits to the presentation and talk about how some of this is actually being used in the wild with customers.
Awesome. Let's get into our session objectives for today. What we want to do first is going to how Virtual Machine Manager and OM working together can help you provide real-time monitoring and proactive monitoring into your public or private cloud. We also want to show how we're not just limited to the private cloud with Operations Manager, but we can also manage your public cloud as well. And then we're going to show off how we can configure and monitor your best practices in Operations Manager. So let's get into monitoring the private cloud. We launched System Center 2012 about 2 years ago now, and we had investments in several areas. We did some investments in DevOps and .NET APM monitoring. We're also adding Java monitoring soon. We did Global Service Monitor, and we really overhauled how we do the visualization experience to make sure that we're giving the right people the right information. But what we want to focus on today is how we monitor your fabric and your workloads. In our previous release, we had some improvements in terms of the topology simplification. We did some scale improvements to go from 10,000 to 15,000 servers that we can monitor. We added some support for some new Linux distributions, and one really key thing that we added was support for network monitoring. Now you don't just have to monitor your servers and your storage, but you also get insight to how your network is doing, and this became really a class, a high priority thing that we surfaced to you. Looking forward into System Center 2012 R2, which is our upcoming release, we wanted to dive even deeper into how we monitor your fabric. We've given you some 360 fabric monitoring solutions, which I'm going to go into a little later. And we also increased our integration with VMM. Another thing that we've done, which I mentioned earlier, is improved on how we monitor your investments in the public cloud as well, in Azure. And we also add the advisor attached service that helps you configure your best practices very easily. Outside of fabric monitoring, we've also done some things, such as adding APM support for Java. And we also increased our TFS integration, so that entire scenario, going from the developer all the way to the operations team, both working to maintain and create an application that you have running in your fabric, we want to make sure that's done in a crisp, crisp way. And then we also made some improvements in how our dashboards perform, so they don't load as slowly anymore, and you get really quick and snappy dashboards. And we're also going to add a few new widgets. But like I said, today we're going to focus on how we integrate with Virtual Machine Manager to give you the best-in-class monitoring for your private cloud infrastructure.
And if I can just add to that, from I've been kind of working with this product now all the way since NetIQ had it, actually, before Microsoft bought it. And I've seen a lot of changes in the product, you know, from MOM 2005 to 2007. We saw a lot of movement from kind of monitoring servers You know, for example, if we had a problem with Active Directory, for example, it highlighted that there was a problem on that server and went and looked at that server, but it didn't never had that concept of a kind of service. Now, 2007 was a massive leap for me because we moved to this concept of end-to-end service monitoring. So we could now break down components like databases from servers and be able to add them into a distributed application model. Because at the end of the day, we all live in a world where we deliver services to the business. You know, that's, you know, we don't deliver servers. Servers are a component of that service infrastructure. So moving up to that kind of service-oriented monitoring was a really big leap, I think. And, you know, the product starts to really look like an enterprise product. The next, the holy grail for me after that, really, was being able to add in the other components that make up my service model. So adding in databases and websites and operating systems is one thing, but I want to be able to add my network devices in. I want to be able to have my storage devices in. I need to be able to get into the end user's shoes and kind of understand that experience. And now we live in a world where, you know, we're moving forward. You've all seen the vision this week around CloudOS, where, you know, the vision is that we'll all be kind of using multiple different clouds for our back-end infrastructure. That predominantly, for now, is going to be our private cloud infrastructure that we put down. So being able to manage that private cloud infrastructure and all of the elements that are in that from the top down is a really important aspect that we're going to have to do in the monitoring. We might have service provider clouds. I work with a lot of customers that are putting some of their infrastructure into locally based service providers because they still need that kind of localization, but they don't want that cost of management and that overhead of managing it in a service provider data center. And obviously the third element is the public cloud. Being able to kind of manage, you know, all of the different public cloud providers that are out there. You know, many of us are moving into kind of things like software as a service, Office 365. And moving forward, we'll start to be using things like IaaS in a public cloud. And being able to manage across all of those clouds in a consistent manner, for me, is what is the main investment that Microsoft are trying to crack with the R2, being able to have that consistent end-to-end experience. And I'm really helping to drive that kind of cloud OS vision from a monitoring perspective.
Yeah, and thanks for going into that. And we'll show this off a little later. But like Gordon said, one of the things that we really want to emphasize is that whether you have your infrastructure in the private cloud or the public cloud or a mix of both, we want to make sure that we provide an experience that lets you see those resources and gives you the view from the service. You shouldn't have to worry about where all of my resources are. What you want to see is, how is my service doing? How are my end users experiencing that? We want to give you a view into that kind of health monitoring from one place, and we're really starting to crack that in our upcoming release. Now, we're going to get into fabric monitoring. Gordon is going to start us off with a quick demo showing us how we're integrating with VMM.
Okay, thank you very much. So just to jump on the slide, I'm going to jump in and talk about the VMM integration. So we're going to look at the private cloud element. So a quick slide up here to talk about just what is the private cloud fabric. What do we mean when we talk about this term fabric? It's kind of bandied about quite a lot, both in the public cloud space and in the private cloud space. Well, we have compute first. And compute, storage, and probably network is kind of the common three that we think about when we think about cloud. But compute includes all of my hosts. You know, my Hyper-V hosts, it might be VMware hosts, for example, but it's those hosts that are running my virtualization platform, my operating system that is running on those hosts, and running on those guests that are in there. And that's just not Windows today. You know, we run, particularly today, you know, across public cloud and private cloud, we're running Linux and Unix elements within there. So being able to manage all of those elements across there. The workload configuration. So the workloads are what we have running on our private cloud. So that might be anything from our kind of Exchange, SharePoint, SQL, typical Microsoft kind of workloads there. Yeah, AD, DNS, DHCP, all the way through to kind of third-party workloads that we might running. When I talk to customers about monitoring services, you know, for example, I think of messaging is being a service, and messaging just doesn't incorporate exchange. It incorporates things like BlackBerry, if you're using BlackBerry, for example, or archiving in that. And today, you know, of course, mobile device management is up front and center, so being able to manage those elements as well. And finally, the management infrastructure itself, being able to understand the management infrastructure, not just from a monitoring perspective, but the management infrastructure that I have that is delivering my private cloud. So my WDS servers, for example, my WSUS servers, particularly from a VMM standpoint, all of my elements that are serving up stuff within my private cloud. That might be if you're using some system center components, things like Service Manager, for example, or Orchestrator, you know, being able to manage those key components that are driving my private cloud fabric. On the storage side, we want to be able to manage our storage devices. So our NetApp filers, our HP Evo storage devices. And upon those storage, and you know, we're kind of going through a bit of an evolution in storage. We're moving. All of you will have seen the stuff in the keynote, and you might well have gone to sessions this week around things like storage spaces and some of the new ways of doing storage for your private cloud. And some elements that come up that we need to be able to manage are things like file shares. You will have seen the new file share component that can be delivered with Virtual Machine Manager that gives you new kind of functionality around delivering very quick and highly configurable file shares. Being able to monitor those elements, monitoring your LUNs, be that on a SAN storage device or be that on a physical storage device, and being able to monitor the storage pools that bring together those two elements that we can deliver in the private cloud. From a hardware point of view, we have a number of, and this was kind of network originally, but I kind of wanted to change the hardware because it's more than network devices that we monitor. So on the network device side, there's physical devices, switches, routers, hubs. But now, and again, this week, you'll have been seeing more into the software-defined networking and the virtual switches. And I think a lot of our physical infrastructure is going to move up into our virtual environment. And we need to be able to manage those virtual and physical switches in an identical way. Finally, the fabric hardware that sits under that. So this is, we talked about the host and the OS platform from an operating system perspective, but being able to manage the physical hardware that sits under our host. So that's things, it might be my HP servers or my Dell servers, being able to bring those elements up. And, moving forward using things like OMI and SMIS, which are kind of protocols that are being developed around storage devices, being able to embrace those so that we can get very quick and easy diagnostic information from devices that are running in our environment is going to be more and more important. So let's talk about the investments around monitoring the OS and workloads. So first of all, the latest version, and particularly R2, has support for all the latest Windows platforms. That includes everything up to Windows Server 2012 and Windows Server 2012 R2, and taking into account all those new features that are in that platform as well. There's updated support for Linux distributions. How many people in the room run Linux and Unix in their environment today? Okay, so a good half the room there. So updated support for Linux. So, already in System Center, we have support for things like SUSE, Red Hat, HPUX, AIX, Solaris. So new distributions that are being added for the R2 timeframe are CentOS, Debian, Ubuntu. And this is across System Center, so not just in Operation Manager. Operation Manager has been doing cross-plat. Those that are running Config Manager SP1 will already become maybe doing some kind of cross-platform patch management or software and hardware inventory. There's been 45 new management packs updated or released this year. So, management packs for me as an operations manager guy has always kind of been one of my most interesting areas, shall I say, being politically correct. It's one of those areas where maybe traditionally there's not been a lot of consistency. And, there's some reasons for that behind the scenes. I mean, the product teams, as you know, write the management packs for Operations Manager. And I believe that's the right place for that to be because those teams have the knowledge. But you've had various degrees of management packs depending on you know, how deep or how important monitoring and management was to those product teams. What we're seeing now coming from Microsoft is a lot more consistency across the management packs. So driving that education across the product teams to make sure that the management packs are done to a good level, putting in common engineering criteria to make sure that the management packs meet a particular level. So 45 new this year, and across non-Microsoft platforms as well, there's a new Veeam management pack being released recently. So there's a version 6 of that management pack. So how many people in the room run VMware on the back end today? Okay, that's good. About 25%, 30% of the room there. So, and how many people run Veeam today with Operations Manager? Okay, nobody.
One guy over here.
Yeah. So you can monitor VMware to a degree with Virtual Machine Manager, and therefore monitor some elements of that through Operations Manager. But Veeam are a specialist in VMware. You know, that's where they come from. They're a kind of very well-known player across VMware through backup and replication and those types of areas. Now, Veeam have a very strong, along with another vendor called Bridgeways, have very strong solutions around monitoring VMware. And if you're serious about monitoring your environment and monitoring that stack that I was talking about earlier, you know, you need to be able to monitor that virtual hardware to a good level. And, you know, we're going to show you today around kind of what the new investments have been made around VMM. But definitely, you know, if you have VMware in your environment, you should be looking at adding, one of the third-party packs to that. Amazon, AWS. So there is actually, for those, anybody run Amazon Cloud here today? Okay, we've got two people in the room. So Amazon recently released a brand new management pack for the Amazon Cloud, which you can download off their site and put into Operations Manager, you know, and you can monitor, you know, the Amazon Cloud alongside your Azure Cloud, which we're going to show you a bit later today. So lots of investment around monitoring the OS and the workloads.
And I just want to jump in and say that, like, I work closely with some of the teams that are creating these management packs, and there really is kind of a culture shift going on around MPs in Microsoft, and we want to make sure that we continue to deliver best-in-class management packs at a good cadence. And we're also investing in not just the management packs themselves, but how we deliver them and how you guys interact with them. So we're working on delivering updated authoring tools and investigating maybe ways we can distribute them in a more consistent way.
Okay, so getting started, let's talk about the OM VMM integration here. So the basic way that we start around monitoring our private cloud fabric is by integrating Operations Manager with Virtual Machine Manager. At the end of the day, Virtual Machine Manager is our tool for unlocking the private cloud. It's our tool for enabling us to do lots of things. And lots of your demos this week would have been around Virtual Machine Manager, looking at some of the new capabilities within that product. And, you know, for me, that's been looking at the R2 stuff. That's been the biggest investment, I think, in Virtual Machine Manager, all of the new capabilities. So being able to manage that is a really critical element. So I'm just going to kind of quickly run through, and it's not really a lot to show you here, but I want to kind of just run through the basics. I think I'm on one there. Whee! So here's a Virtual Machine Manager console. Some of you will be familiar with this. And this is just the SP1 here, but you may well have had demos of the R2 one here today. And, you know, just to recap quickly on Virtual Machine Manager and what it controls, well, it controls our private clouds, our groupings of compute, network, and storage. And I've got a couple of kind of private clouds that I've kind of created within here. It deals with our VM networks, as well as our kind of host groups and elements like that. From a fabric point of view, there's quite a lot of elements within here. So, just quickly running down the left there, we were talking about components that we need to manage and monitor in the private cloud. So we have our hosts, first and foremost, and our host groups. So that's our physical hosts that we need to manage. We have our library servers, which contain our ISOs and our images and our VHDs. We have our Pixie servers, something traditionally that's been the kind of domain of Configuration Manager, WDS, but now we have the ability to connect to a WDS server in, in Virtual Machine Manager to allow us to patch our private cloud infrastructure and do compliance baselines against our private cloud infrastructure. Update server is us plugging into a WSUS server so that we can basically update our environment. Sorry, let me just jump back. I got those two mixed up. So the Pixie server is us going into a WDS point to be able to provide a point for taking bare metal hardware installations and building VHDs images so they can be very rapidly deployed into our clusters or in our private cloud environment. Update server is our WSUS integration. We might also have virtual center servers if we're plugging into VMware. Those are things that, the elements that we need to be able to monitor. And that's where we plug that in there. And then we've got all our networking. And this is just, an SP1 here. So we've just got the first level. You will have seen this week some of the new R2 investments in networking. It's growing and growing. A lot of moving bits for us to be able to monitor and manage. And then finally down at the bottom, we have our storage, our classifications, our providers, our file servers. So a lot of things to be able to manage in there that we need to bring into our view if we're going to monitor our private cloud correctly. And it's very simple. The integration with Operations Manager kind of happens in the settings section of the console. And I simply go, you can see there's a section there for System Center settings. And I simply go into the Operations Manager server element here. And I can basically go into the details pane, and it's in here that I basically add in my Operations Manager server. So I put my root management server. Those who know 2012 will understand that we don't have a root management server anymore. So that kind of refers to a management server within my management server resource pool. We also put in our Operations Manager management group settings within here. And then I have a couple of little options around the connection settings. So I can enable the connection to Operations Manager. I might want to have it disabled in there, for example. I also have this thing called performance and resource optimization. So some of you will be familiar with that. Pro or Pro Tips, as it's more kind of commonly known within VMM, is a way of you being able to kind of make intelligent decisions, or rather the product make intelligent decisions for you around optimizing workloads. So that could be, for example, NetApp and HP do pro tip management packs that actually look at hardware. And for example, the HP one will do a predictive analysis of a hard disk failure, and then it will pop up a message in Operations Manager to you, and it will say, hey, we predict that this hard disk is going to fail pretty soon. Would you like us to evacuate the hosts off this, evacuate the VMs off this host and move them to another host? And you can say, yep, I want you to do that. And actually, next time that happens, don't even tell me about it. Just take that action on my behalf and do that. So it's a really good integration. And some of that pro stuff has actually now moved into VMM. So some of that intelligence around load balancing hosts and being able to kind of have downtimes like in the evenings where you might want to evacuate hosts and shut down physical hosts as well. Some of those things are actually built into the product now. But there's still quite a lot of stuff that you can do within the ProTips arena. And the maintenance mode integration for Operations Manager is quite good as well. So when I do that evacuation of my host and I move my VMs to another, what I don't want is lots of alerts in Operations Manager telling me that those VMs are no longer available. So that host integration will actually allow VMM to put Operations Manager into maintenance mode, or put those virtual machines into maintenance, or that host in virtual machines, that host into maintenance mode when I actually bring that host down, so I'm not getting lots of alerts in Operations Manager. So it's quite a nice kind of integration element within there. Well, I also have a section for a list of the currently installed VMM management packs. And that will show up kind of when you do the integration as well. And the final bit in here, we have a section around SQL Server analysis. So you SQL guys in the house who are into OLAP cubes, we can actually build a SQL Server analysis services cube so we can start to do capacity planning and forecasting around data that we're collecting from Virtual Machine Manager. So very important moving forward for things like kind of chargeback. You might have been some of the chargeback presentations this week where they talked about data that they collect from Virtual Machine Manager for chargeback purposes in the private cloud. Very quickly, I'm going to jump into the Operations Manager console here, and I'm going to dive down and just kind of show you what you get in the management pack on the other end once you've kind of done that integration. And obviously, what this is the current management pack, and what Akin's going to go into in a little bit more detail is the new management pack that's coming with R2. But today, what we get with that virtual machine manager integration is a kind of private cloud type view of our virtual machine manager environment. So I've got my active alerts in there, my health state. I've also got my managed resources down there as well. So all those elements that I went through in the VMM console, health of my clouds, my host health, things like MAC address pool health, individual health of virtual machines that are running within my environment. I can view that very easily in a kind of top-down view, and you can see all my virtual machines looking very healthy over there on the left. And then I have some kind of performance views, and I'm showing you this because I really want you to understand the investments that have been made in the R2, and so you do understand the difference between what is available today and what will be available in the new release. So from a performance point of view, I can kind of go in and look at my cloud performance, so I can actually map individual virtual machines into my view and view that performance over a period of time. I can look at things like storage pool performance, virtual machine performance, and map that data in and graph that. And of course, because I've got a data warehouse behind that, all my operations manager data is available in a from a reporting perspective as well. And then finally, down at the bottom, we have our virtual machine view. So that's kind of what we have today with the operations manager VMM management pack. So we enable that connection. We get those views with the management packs that are deployed, and we're able to kind of view our environment to a degree. So that's what I call private cloud monitoring V1, yep. Probably fair to say. Yeah. And then what Akin's going to dive into is show you kind of the next rev of this moving forward. So we can just jump back to the slides a minute. So just a couple of prerequisites about deploying the VMM integration. So you need to install the IIS management pack in Operations Manager, first and foremost. You need to install the SQL management pack. So these are a couple of prereqs. You need to install the SCOM console on the VMM box. And then you need to enable PowerShell 2, if you haven't done it already, and most of you probably will have done, on all your SCOM management servers. And you know, there used to be a requirement as well that you had to install the administrator console on the VMM administrator console on the root management server, and that's no longer a requirement. You can actually install the operations manager console on the VMM server, which is the way I mostly do it today. So there isn't that requirement to do it the other way around. So it's a slightly easier process. And those of you who remember the older versions of this management pack, remember that you had to manually install a lot of the management packs. That's all done as an automatic process for you now when you do that integration. Okay, so I've kind of showed you where we are today. What I'm going to do is hand you over to Akin now, who's going to actually go through where we are moving forward and where the investment's been in this pack.
Awesome. Thanks, Gordon. So right now, imagine you're the Fabric admin, and besides coffee, the thing that's going to be on the top of your mind is, what's the health of my Fabric? And you want to know, are things running as they should be? And if not, how can you quickly identify what the issue is in order to fix it as soon as possible? Meantime to resolution is sort of this guiding light and gold standard of yours, and you need the tools that will help you adhere to that standard. So with the latest version of the VMMP, we have revamped the diagram view. We want to make sure that what we show reflects the interconnected concept of health throughout your fabric in a powerful and easy to digest way. Health rollup is consistent throughout, and understanding how your monitor components are connected is dead simple. Whether it's your storage or your VMs, your compute or your tenant clouds, our diagram view makes reducing mean time to resolution of issues with your private cloud fabric as easy as it's ever been. So what I'm going to do now is go into a quick demo to show off and really show what we've enabled with the diagram view here. So, give me 1 second. All right, perfect. So, as I'm sure most of you are familiar with, this is the OM console here. And in the diagram view, what's not interesting is, you know, all this healthy stuff. So, but we want to make sure that when we show something is healthy in the health roll-up, that you know that everything below it is healthy as well. So what's not interesting, great, our VMM agents are running fine on all these machines and hosts, and we're able to see that these agents are healthy. But that's not interesting. What is interesting, however, is let's see where the problems are. Well, like, show me what's going wrong. And we can do this with one simple click. And now we're able to dive down into that tree and see where all of my problems reside. Let me give myself some more room here. So this is an R2. Yeah. And so here we can right-click and say, go through the Health Explorer and say, hey, I want to see exactly why this thing has gone down. So we go to the state change events, and we can see, hey, on May 30th, this went down. And the reason is we're using the storage lung capacity monitor to see when we're above the capacity that we've provisioned for this. And we set the critical, the warning threshold to 80%, the critical threshold to 90, and right now our storage lung is at 100% capacity. And so with this diagram view, we're able to quickly dive in and understand that we need to provision more capacity for this thing. So we also have this test VM lung, and we also enable you to see health and knowledge for these views. So we have some knowledge here that shows you exactly what the monitor is doing, and then we can also go and see the state change events for this as well. Let's jump back in the slideshow real fast. Another thing that we've introduced in R2 is the idea of your clouds. So if you're say you're the Fabric admin, and you want to make sure that your tenants are happy with what they're receiving, you need to make sure that when you say that you offer your tenant some measure of SLA, that you know that you are providing the services that they require of you. And you also want to be able to, when you're deep diving into this kind of exploration of what's wrong with my tenant's cloud, you want to make sure that what you're seeing is scoped to that cloud, and you're getting nothing more and nothing less than what's relevant in that grouping. So we have clouds, and what they are is a logical grouping of all of the components that are providing a particular service. And you can imagine that is scoped to a tenant. So we have the storage, the network, the compute, and the VMs that a tenant is consuming, and you're required to give them a high level of service. And what we've done in VMM, within the updated VMM MP, is to give you a view of these clouds. And then once you want to drill down and identify a problem, you're given all of those components in context of that particular cloud. So let's go back in to our Operations Manager console. And now let's go into what a new offering that we're calling the Cloud Health Dashboard. So here you can see that we have four clouds, and imagine that they belong to four different tenants. And what I don't want to have to do all the time is dig into how's my entire fabric doing, because sometimes there's an error or a problem that's not really affecting your tenants, and you just want to see, hey, how are the people that I've guaranteed this level of service, how am I doing against that? So if we have this test cloud one, we can see that this cloud specifically has a problem. We also have a new dashboard that lets you drill into that cloud and see how that the fabric underpinning that cloud is doing. So here we have the Fabric Health dashboard. And so once this loads up, what you're going to see is that we're not showing anything other than what's relevant for that particular cloud. So all of these LUNs, all of the network state that you're seeing, this is all related to the components that cloud is consuming. We're not showing you every single thing. If there are hosts that we have that aren't relevant to this cloud, they're not going to show up in this dashboard. We're also going to show you your storage pool states and how they're doing, and we can go and see that disk that we went into before is showing as 100% full. And in the previous view, what we were seeing is not how it is relative to any particular cloud, but we were seeing our entire fabric and how it's doing. Now we have this in context of who it's affecting, what cloud is being affected by this capacity issue, for example. We also show off the network devices that are relevant to this cloud. And so say if this were down, we could quickly drill into that. Another thing that we want to make sure that we do is also give you the kind of tasks that are relevant to this particular device. So for this network device, say if this were down, we could drill in and make sure that we are seeing how that network being down is affecting the rest of our fabric. And so we're really excited about this view, and we think that it's going to make the admin's life a lot easier in really providing value to the tenants that they're hosting. You're not going to have to go and try to piecemeal dive in and figure out how this complaint that you're getting from a customer or a tenant is being affected by the components underpinning it. What you're going to be able to see is, hey, in context, show me exactly what's going wrong, and it'll help you more quickly resolve any issues that stem from a particular tenant.
And if I can jump in, one of the things that I really like about this new dashboard as well is it's a mixture of physical and virtual that we're seeing on the dashboard as well. So we've got our physical kind of hosts and our HA group up the top. Our storage pools and our file sharing LUNs kind of exist between virtual and physical. And actually the network node there is a physical network device. So we talked about adding the virtual and the physical network devices in. That's actually a physical network device in there. And I believe if you drill down into that, you can get into like the network node.
So from right here, this isn't down right now, but we can go in and dive right into the network vicinity dashboard from this view, and we can see how this network node is affecting the overall connection in your fabric. We can add computers to this view, and so now we can see, hey, if this network node goes down, we might be affecting both this host and this one as well. We can see the other network nodes it's attached to. And this is another great way that we're just trying to show you relevant information so that you can quickly dive into those tasks and those views that make sense in a given context.
And anybody out there who uses Operations Manager today doing network monitoring already with Operations Manager? Okay. Anybody tried it and not doing it? Okay, but for those who haven't tried it, definitely worth looking at. You know, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you it's going to cover all your networking problems. But as a server guy, as a person monitoring fabric and infrastructure, it's a very good additional element that you wouldn't have had before. So being able to add those physical devices in, you know, as we move forward with virtualization, we're going to have more and more virtual network devices coming in, but you shouldn't forget about monitoring those physical virtual devices as well and doing that mapping between the two elements as well. So definitely recommend, you know, trying that out. I kind of think of the network monitoring and operations manager as being network monitoring for server guys. Because, you know, we most organizations that I work with live in a world where a server team sits over here, a network team sits over here, and of course, whenever Exchange is running slow, it's never the network devices, it's always the servers. And as a server monitoring guy, you know, we don't really have any tools to prove otherwise. So, you know, bringing that in there just so that we can identify the switch and be able to ring up the network guy and say, hey, it's this Cisco router in this location. Could you go and have a look at it, because it's actually causing latency on my application. And then, you know, the network guy might dive into that with something like a Cisco Works tool, for example, to be able to get that deep diagnostic information. Yes, sir. Yeah.
With operations manager. But what I picked up in a previous session was that when you use the network monitoring and operations manager, it goes and discovers all the network nodes, goes and discovers all of the devices, and then it essentially pulls itself back and only monitors the ports that are going to other network devices and are going to devices that are monitoring the system center, which to me was huge.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? A networking guy will want to monitor it all. But as a server guy, we're only really interested in the stuff that our applications are talking out to and talking through. And it's a very good point. You know, what Ops Manager does when it discovers a network device is it looks in the ICMP cache and the ARP cache on that device, and it looks at all of the other IP addresses that it may be talking to. It also, within those caches, you'll find things like MAC addresses, and that's how it does the kind of mapping between a port and an interface. And for me, that's the power in it. It's that port stitching that it does, because that's all I'm interested in. I'm not interested in all the ports on the switch. I'm just interested in the ones that I'm communicating with from a server point of view. And it is a very useful tool. And just one thing before we jump on, because I do get excited about network monitoring. I just wanted to show you, just go down into the network device a minute. Yeah,
and
excellent.
We had chosen not to, and it was that one key piece of information that made my decision.
And I think, you know, I have the same thing as well. You know, network teams are very kind of like their own network tools, and, you know, when you tell them that they're going to use kind of operations manager. But, you know, the kind of information, you know, and notice as well, this is another theme moving forward with Operations Manager 2012, this kind of dashboard concept. I was kind of used to getting annoyed with products that you have to drive. I have a saying that a good console should be something that drives you rather than you drive it. And it's very rare that we see that, particularly in the monitoring and management arena. And what I like about this is I've kind of gone 3 clicks from that diagram view, and I'm down into some deep diagnostic information about a device. And here I can kind of view, you know, the nearest device to that. I've got a mini view of that top view. I can actually go in and look at the average response time. And, you know, if there's a particular interface that's having a problem, for example, I can actually even go down a level again and kind of look at, you know, some deep information about that switch, alerts that have been generated, you know, maybe performance elements around that particular switch that's gone in there as well. So it's information at my fingertips driven by dashboards, and it's stuff that's driving me to the resolution rather than me having to drive around in the console. And I think that's a common theme that you're going to see moving forward with operations, more of that kind of dashboard driven type view. So there you go, that's me down right down on the actual interface card now, and looking at the stats and the availability and alerts that have been generated about that. And I kind of just love that kind of top down kind of through kind of
quick question.
Yes. Yeah, so that's what I run into all the time. So, yeah.
We're obviously trying to
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's all to do with the implementation of the MIB on the network device.
Yeah,
no problem at all. So the question was, one of the gentlemen in the audience had tried to do the network monitoring, and he found that there was inconsistencies in the information that came back from the devices. And again, the reason for this is around the MIB implementation. So, Mike, it's a very hard thing to do, network device monitoring, particularly because you've got to provide monitoring for all kind of different network OSs that are providing on them. And to go back, you know, I've been in some places with some switches that are like 10, 15 years old. To cover everything is very difficult. So what Microsoft did was standardized on a couple of MIB references, which are very kind of commonly standardized ones across things like Nortel, you know, HP ProCurve and Cisco. So with some devices, you get very rich monitoring if it's been integrated. Other ones, you'll just get, you know, semi-rich monitoring. And I think for me, the goal is about monitoring the device. You know, if I get extra detail about that, that's a bonus to me, and it allows me to do that kind of extra drill down. But as long as I can monitor the switch, and I know that that's up or down, and from an application point of view, that's the important thing for me. I can let the network guys deal with the rest. You know, it's just adding those elements to your cloud monitoring element with that.
Yeah, and another thing I want to show off or point out is that this network, the Cinity dashboard, it's available to the network components, such as your switches and routers, but it's also available to view from a computer. So you can see how your server is connected and what devices it's connected to, and kind of get a map. And you don't only just have to do one hop. You can extend this out to two or three hops to get a wider and broader view of the graph that makes up your network. So let's jump back into the slides here. So now Gordon is going to jump into proactive monitoring with System Center Advisor.
Okay. So another couple of new investment, a new investment decisions around System Center Advisor. Anybody seen System Center Advisor? Okay. So System Center Advisor is a best practice tool which is supported by the Microsoft Support Group by CSS, and originally it was designed to give people kind of best practice KB type knowledge around things like SQL, AD, SharePoint. Now, System Center Advisor what it basically does, it has Operations Manager architecture under it. So you deploy deploy a agent and a gateway server, and it connected up into Microsoft. And once a day, it sent a load of metrics about your servers up to Microsoft, and Microsoft would analyze that information and send you back a load of best practice information. So to give you an example, it might be that CSS, Microsoft Support Group, are seeing a really common problem with SQL. So they've got lots of people ringing up for the same KB article over a period of time. What they will actually do is they'll identify that that's on your server, and they will give you that KB article and say, hey, you know, we recommend that you maybe look at this KB article and download this hotfix, because we're seeing that lots of people are seeing this issue across. So it's a kind of different thing to the way that Operations Manager does, which is a more of a proactive way. That's more of a reactive way to approach. So for a while, System Center Advisor kind of sat on its own. You could multi-home it with your Ops Manager architecture, so it used an Ops Manager agent and a gateway. The difference was the data used to go out to Microsoft at the top end, and it really wasn't connected with Operations Manager. So one of the key new investments in R2 is that's been integrated with the Operations Manager console. And by the way, System Center Advisor is free. It's a free tool. It used to be kind of available, so I believe it's fully free now. Yep. So you can just basically go to, if you type System Center Advisor into your search engine, you can go there and you can sign up for it, and it's free. So if you're not using it already, It's a free support tool that you can use. Now, the great thing is, I kind of, from an ops manager point of view, I want it in the same place as my ops manager stuff. You know, I don't want a separate tool that I'll be able to, that I can go in and do that. So basically, that's exactly what's happened. It's been kind of integrated into Operations Manager. The areas that it covers in terms of what it supports are Link Server, SharePoint, SQL Server, Exchange Server, and Windows Server. So it'll give you all that best practice. And again, I mentioned KB. It's not just KB stuff. It might be, for example, that you have a certain configuration in SQL that isn't a best practice configuration. You'll all be familiar with the old best practice analyzers that we had for products, which kind of got that an element of best practice analysis in it as well. It'll say, you know, you need to turn this logging off, or you need to kind of make sure that this share's enabled. And what kind of new as well for the new rev is fabric components. And this is why it's relevant to us in this session, because that's all our private cloud fabric components, our elements that make up our VMM private cloud that we've got as well. So it's quite relevant in kind of bringing this in and talking about it in the context of a fabric cloud. And again, it's based on knowledge-based information that's already out there. And it's also based around Microsoft CSS information that they found. So it's got the Microsoft support team around it, and it's driving information to you that can actually make your infrastructure better. And it's kind of proactive in the fact that it's giving you early warning signs of things that might go wrong later down the line. And it's up to you whether you kind of take that advice. So the customer configurations goes up, and then the best practice configuration comes out. So it's a pretty neat tool. And I definitely recommend, if you haven't used it already, you should go and sign up for it and just have a play around with it. And again, it uses the same architecture as Operations Manager. And it basically, three main things. It allows you to proactively avoid configuration problems that might occur in your environment. It reduces downtime and improves performance because you're fixing things that might be making your environment less than optimized. And it helps you resolve issues faster. You know, all of you have probably at some point raised a support ticket with Microsoft. And, you know, depending on the complexity of it might take a long time. It might take a quick time. It might turn around a hot fix quick. Well, this kind of sits in between that because it allows you to kind of get some of that information up front that might save you putting in that call afterwards. So I'm just going to kind of give you a little demo of this, and I'm going to show you how this sits into the Microsoft environment. Okay, thank you. Okay, and I'm going to show you the elements within the Operations Manager console, and this is actually an R2 investment that you're seeing here as well. So you can actually see now System Center Advisor has been included within the administration section in the Operations Manager console. So actually it's very easy for you to set it up. You know, and those of you that use GSM will be familiar with this kind of integration within here as well. So I can actually go into my System Center Advisor section, and I can look at my advisor connection, and I can actually manage alert rules from within here, which actually looks at elements that are actually being driven. And let me just put mine in there. Yeah. Just bear with me 2 seconds.
If you guys want to spam them after this, start sending me emails to this address.
And it will allow me to go in and configure System Center Advisor directly from the Operations Manager console. Let me just do that in the background. I'll come back to it. That's because I did it on my other box last time. And also as well, I can actually look in here and I can look at my advisor managed computers. So I've got a number of computers in here, which are ones which I've designated will be managed by the advisor setting. And what I'll actually do on here, have I got an internet connection on here? I'll just log into it on here and I can show you happens at the back end.
This is still this machine.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What are you trying to do?
Well, let me show the advisor stuff within the console there. Oh, best laid plans, eh? So I'll show you kind of what the element within the Operation Manager console looks like as well. So actually now we have this little System Center Advisor section within here, along with an advisor health state. And this is where it's driving that best practice. Now, it has a very good console that you can go into, and you can read stuff, and you can view history. And also, it loads up things in the console, like configurations of your computers. So, you know, actually, if you're on a support call with somebody from Microsoft, and they want to know what the configuration of your SQL Server is, and, you know, you haven't got a SQL administration console close to you, you can actually just go to this advisor console, and it has the full configuration for that SQL Server within there. So within here, if we look at some of the active alerts that I've got, just to show you, I've got one here telling me that a certain security configuration doesn't exist. And again, that's got product knowledge in it. So it's actually telling me around some security context. And I can click to go online to more information about that. And if I look under the alert context, I can actually see the link to the knowledge base article that's actually caused that particular issue.
Thing I want to emphasize here is every single advisor alert that you'll get has an associated KB article with it. So you don't have to worry about not being able to get good knowledge about that issue. If we raise an alert for it, we have a KB article that is associated with it. And this is done by all of the support that we've gotten from our support team. They've gone in and made sure that all of these common type of configuration issues and these best practices all have knowledge associated with it.
So with this particular one, I've just highlighted the problem in there, and I've just clicked this link on the right, which is view the KB article, and it's actually taken me directly to the KB article to do with this piece of best practice advice. And actually, you know, the KB article is quite useful. It has a little SQL query that I can kind of run that actually fixes that particular issue within there. So, you know, great addition to the monitoring. I've got another one in here which is around an admin share that is not shared. And again, that particular one doesn't have a KB article with it because it's actually just telling me that there's a particular issue that I go. I don't need a KB article to tell me that I need to go and enable an admin share, for example.
And that's because it was a warning, not a critical alert.
Okay, so again, you know, System Center Advisor was a very useful tool. Can I flick over to that other one and I'll just see if I can get it on the back end? To the PC that's on here. Oh, okay, no, that's on there. Let me see if I can get on it on here. Have you got internet access on here? I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll come back to that. I'll come back to that in the end, and I can do that while you're kind of doing your next bit. So let's talk about monitoring public cloud resources. So we've kind of spent, you know, we've looked at some new R2 features. We've looked at kind of monitoring our private cloud and all of the elements within that, and that's for our VMM integration. But what about managing our public cloud? Well, you saw earlier we've got a brand new Azure management, a brand new Amazon management pack. So if you're kind of running Amazon Cloud, you can go and download that. But I'm going to focus on the Azure Management Pack, obviously, because we're at TechEd. And I'm going to talk about some of the new investments. So there's been a recent rev of this. This is available as a preview today. So this isn't something you're not going to be able to get your hands on. There's been a recent re-rev of it. And actually, the value prop is fairly simple. You know, it enables you to use Operations Manager to monitor availability and performance of components that you have in Azure. That could be, you know, PaaS-type components that you've got. It could be websites. It could be a SQL service. It could be virtual machines. And actually, the new rev takes into account, you know, I imagine one of the very difficult things with kind of developing a management pack for Azure is the rate at which Azure has been transitioning. So how many people have kind of been playing around with Azure over the past weeks, over the past few weeks or months? So, you know, every time I seem to go into Azure, there seems to be a new component added in there. You know, it's kind of massively growing. So, you know, the new management packs take into account some of the new features like the now live IaaS service that's in there, so I can manage virtual machines like I would manage virtual machines through the private cloud connection. It gives me something. It gives me information around things like certificate expiration warnings. Very important. My certificates are expiring. For those who kind of don't know Azure, a lot of the services that you interact with Azure, you do that via secure certificate. So you can get information about that. Hybrid application monitoring. So applications that have elements within Azure and elements on-prem. I'm working with a lot of customers now that are, for example, using Azure in a burst capability. So e-commerce companies that, for example, there's one airline that I work with in the UK that have a sale for kind of 6 weeks of the year. And they were stacking up all this IIS kit just to meet this kind of massive increase in demand for the 6 weeks of the year. And what they've done now is they've got rid of that kit and they just burst out into Azure for that 6 weeks. And that's a really common scenario for people using Azure. Now, for them, their situation is when they do that burst into Azure, they now have infrastructure in two places, in their local data center and in Microsoft's data center. So they want to be able to seamlessly manage that as one application. So, you know, we now have distributed application models and templates that allow you to span those multiple different environments. And so we can actually physically do today that private / public cloud monitoring. We can monitor both those environments. There's also tasks that we can use that allow you to perform functions against elements in Azure that actually access API calls and things like that. There's also a topology dashboard to show you how your services are connected. And it's very simple to set up and configure, yep, which I'm going to show you now.
So do you want to go to mine or yours? I can walk them through the kind of configuration and the monitoring.
Yeah, okay. That'd be good. And then I can do the topology design. That sounds a good point.
Hey, so once you install the Azure MP, you see a new node in the administration pane with Windows Azure. Once you add your subscription, it's dead simple to start discovering and monitoring your Azure resources. Another thing I want to stress here is that you can add multiple subscriptions. So you're not just tied to having one subscription. You can have as many subscriptions as you need and see fit. After you've added your subscription, when you go over into the monitoring pane, you can start to see your discovered inventory. We have your discovered storage here. We have your discovered cloud services. We also have your discovered VMs. Next, if you want to not just only discover things, you also want to monitor them. But you might not want to monitor everything that you have in Azure. So once you go here, you can selectively choose what components that you're going to monitor with the Azure Management Pack in Operations Manager. So here we have some cloud services. We can decide that we want to add some. And once we search for them, this is now all of the cloud services that I have. I also can selectively choose whether or not I'm going to monitor production services or if I want to go into some of my staging services as well. You can do the same thing here for VMs and storage. After we've finished deciding what we're going to monitor, one really cool thing that we have here is the topology dashboard. Give that a second to load up. But once this loads up, what you're going to see here is that we've gone out and discovered how all of your resources are connected without you having to pick and choose and piece them together. Let's get this. Give it a second chance. So this is running on a not so fast box back out in Redmond.
I can, if you flip over to mine, I've actually got it running in my environment as a backup there.
Yep.
Okay, so just to show you, I've got a little less objects in mind, so it's probably a little bit easier. So the topology diagram shows me all of my cloud services I've got in my environment. So you can see in here, I've actually got a couple of DCs. So, you know, some of the things that we're doing for customers at the moment, which is a common thing, how many people use Office 365 here today? Okay. Couple of people. So we moved to Office 365 because our data center was being rather unreliable. And actually, my very clever technical guys decided to put ADFS in and put the ADFS server in my unreliable data center. So the very next time my data center went down, I could no longer access Office 365. Kind of took away from the point of having that. So what we actually did is we put the ADFS components up in Azure. You know, a common place to do that. We've got an ADFS proxy and a server and a DC up in Azure. So you can kind of put those elements in there and manage them like you would manage those elements from a private cloud point of view. You can also look at, you know, inventory that I've got up here, so I can see all my cloud services that I've got running, any storage that I've got discovered. And you can see that I've actually got some issues there with a couple of my storage environments, and I've got all kinds of MSDN and partner keys and elements like that. I can also view my my virtual machines that are in there as well, that I've got in my environment, and I can look at other Azure inventory, such as kind of deployment, subscriptions, roles. So I can actually go in and look at my individual Azure subscriptions and understand which ones I've got an issue with. And incidentally, that one, and some of you that have been running MSDN and partner ones, the one that's critical there is because I've actually just run my limit up for that month on that partner connection. So it's kind of given me alerts to tell me that I've not got a limit, which is actually quite useful because it mailed me about it, because before I used to not know about that until my DC stopped working or my website, whatever it was that I was kind of playing with. I can also look at kind of, you know, the status of my clouds, my storages and my virtual machines. So very similar kind of look and feel to what I've got. And I've also got performance counters around processor, network utilization. Now the bit that I love the most about this is I've actually got some new, anybody do distributed application monitoring here with Operations Manager? It's my favorite bit in the whole world of Operations Manager. And I can actually go in here, and you can actually see I've got some third-party things in here. So I've got like everything from kind of BlackBerry to Oracle to kind of Citrix management in there. But I'm actually going to create a distributed application here. I'm going to call it my new cloudy app. And you can see that with the management pack, you get this new Azure distributed application management pack template that's kind of dropped in to my view. So I can put that in, and it immediately creates a kind of template view that I can go in and use. And the great thing about this is I can drag and drop my objects, and actually my databases, whether they're in Azure or whether they're on-prem, they appear exactly the same. So I can drag Azure-created databases or private cloud-created databases, and that's actually, I can drag them across and put them onto there. And notice that as I drag them across, I can only put them on the section that's relevant. I've then got some client perspective stuff. So those of you that might use GSM, which is another kind of cloud-based service where you can create synthetic transactions and push them out to nodes in Azure, that's now available with Ops Manager and is free with the product as well. So that, you know, before we used to create synthetic transactions to simulated users, the restriction was we could only put them on domain-joined things that had Ops Manager agents on them. But now, with that same service, we can push that out to GSM. So I'm actually just going to drag one of my perspectives in here as well. I can also drag services in here. So I've actually got some services that I've created within Azure, and you can see these have got the Azure subscriptions next to them. And finally, and I kind of like this bit, and I've got lots of objects in here, so this might kind of fall over. But the app dependency is maybe other dependencies that I've got to my application. So it might be an on-premise application. So you think about that instance that I showed you where my customer uses it to burst. They would have their on-premise application that they'd create, and they would build this on top of it to represent the Azure tier. And my on-premise application would go in my app dependency so that I've got my entire top-to-bottom application within my view. And then obviously I can just kind of save that view down. And I'm kind of ready to basically use that in my environment. And that's a hybrid cloud distributed application model that shows me all of my elements, both public and private, in one individual view. And it's very easy to set up and create and templated. Okay, so should we go back to? I see yours finally come up there. You might want to throw that up. That's quite a good one.
So what I was going to show you earlier is that once you go out and discover your Azure components, we automatically show you what each of those services is talking to and how it's connected. So there's no need for you to go and try and set this up. This is done automatically. Once we finish the discovery, we now see, let's try and zoom in a little bit, who this service is talking to, what endpoints, in what direction. And if you go down, we can also drill down even further into the service vicinity dashboard to really just focus on this one cloud service. This is running from an SP1 console, so it's a little slower than the dashboards you will be seeing in 2000 or R2.
And that's a good point to make. You know, we talk about investments in R2. You know, as well as the kind of hot fixes, you guys at Habscom that live in the CU world, we know all about the hot fix updates that we do. But there's been some pretty significant performance updates made to the console again to make that punchier and snappier, and some improvements around the reporting engine as well.
Yeah, and so now you can see that we have this cloud service talking to these several endpoints, and if you go down here into the details, sorry.
And that's an interesting one, because that's actually got GSM on there.
Yeah, so actually this is funny. So this is maybe more than it's supposed to be showing, but this is one of our Azure services that is connected to Global Service Monitor, which is the service that he was talking about earlier that allows you to go in and monitor your application from a global perspective, from agents running in Microsoft data centers. But once we go down here, you'll be able to see the service connections for this particular cloud service. And yeah, and so now you can see all of the services and endpoints that this particular cloud service is talking to, and also the direction of that connection.
Okay, so the basic premise here is that we can discover basically with these two new investments, all of our fabric that's in our public cloud and all of our fabric that's in a private cloud consistently to give us that consistent one OS picture of what's going on in the environment.
Oh, we already went through that.
Okay, so I hope that's been quite useful to you in understanding kind of how you can monitor the fabric, both public and private. If you've we've got a 5 minutes if anybody's got any questions. But apart from that, thank you very much for coming today and enjoy the rest of your trip at New Orleans. Any questions? I think there's some microphones if anybody's got any questions, or actually feel free to come up. Please remember to fill your evaluations in, guys. And if you're really kind, Aiken's going to buy you a beer at the event tonight, yeah?
Two.
Yeah.